Hello and welcome to another edition of Euro Weekly brought to you by BetVictor. I'm Ollie Wilson and delighted to say that Jason Pettigrove will be joining me later on in the week on a separate podcast. But we've got a special edition coming for you today because we're talking all things Arsenal. And when I say all things, I mean all things. Because me and my guest got into absolutely everything around the club except for perhaps the most recent scores and the results that led to Unai Emery's departure. We were talking the managerial appointment that they want to see, the fans and perhaps the club. We were talking about the players, the attitudes in that camp right now, the perception of Arsenal Football Club on a global scale. I got into all of it with Sophie Nicolaou, a very good friend of mine, a co-host of the Highbury Squad podcast. She's a reporter as well for TalkSport. She's covered football in Europe, in World Cups, European Cups, Copa Americas, and based out in LA, she's very well connected to the LA Galaxy too. A superb journalist to talk all things Arsenal with. She's a massive Gunner fan, but she's also able to sit back, take a step back and reflect on a club that is in kind of turmoil at the moment. This was almost like therapy, this podcast, for Sophie, and a great way to chat all things Arsenal and kind of reflect on the whole situation on a grander scale. But this is the first part. We're going to split it up into two parts this week. So there's one mainly focusing on the managerial appointment, although we do bounce around a lot on this podcast as well. It's really fun to get into. It was a great chat with her, and we'll have some odds and some ends and bits and bobs after the chat with Sophie.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Set smart TV to record the football later.
You gotta be joking, and you ain't got a blooming clue. But I tell you what, if you want to chuck a few quid on it, your best bet is to try that BetVictor app. Even I'm a whiz on that. Listen, I've got a little tip for you, and you didn't hear this from me. Oh, that'll be Sandra with the shopping. Sorry, mate, I've got a dash.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet with BetVictor. 18 plus, please gamble responsibly.
Son, seen the remote?
Being a player and being a manager are two completely different responsibilities and things. Yeah. We've seen some wondrous players fail at the highest level as a manager. Tony Adams being one of the biggest Arsenal legends of all. And actually, if you're going to invite anyone to come back, invite him to come back. He's been ostracized from the club for so long. So I want them gone. I want someone to come in with a new, fresh idea to reinvent Arsenal in their image, for the team to become an image of them. You know, the way Pep has done it, the way Conte's done it, the way Simeone has done it at Atletico Madrid. Oh, the dream. We'd never pay the 25 million plus release clause.
So I'm going to tell you right now, Marcelo Gallardo down at River Plate, who's just lost the Copa Libertadores when he was going for two in a row, but he is without a doubt the next kind of Simeone. His passion, but he's got such great tactical knowledge and he's a great man manager as well. And if Arsenal could look at him and actually get out of a South American bias, and we've been pushing this on a podcast that myself and the other chap who's been down in South America with me a lot of the time that we do, we've kind of really got a real man crush on Gallardo because he's like the South American Mourinho, except without that Mourinho arrogance almost. He's got the arrogance, but that right level of arrogance where he's just confident, looks good on the sideline, comes out smart dress suit, presents himself well, talks to the media well, but he backs it up with everything that he does tactically on the pitch. He can make changes that will affect games, and he's without a doubt a phenomenal leader of men because he's taken a relatively old and an inferior, in particular to Flamengo in the Libertadores final, inferior side, and taking them almost all the way again this year. And he needs a bigger challenge. And he's played in Europe before. And I've been banging this drum a little bit to other people, saying, look, have a look at what he does in South American football and take the leap. Because he's so worth keeping your eye on. And trying something a little bit outside the box, you know. I mean, Argentinian coaches now, there should be no fear about it. You look at Bielsa. You look at Pochettino. You look at Simeone. They're beloved in Argentina, particularly Bielsa. You can't hear his name enough around Buenos Aires. But they're also guys that have come in and shown that they can do it and do it at very high. Even mm-hmm. Sampaoli They all have that flair and that passion about them, and teams will buy into that. And Gachado's got the track record and the trophies in South America to back it up as well, more than the others.
So can you imagine if someone like Gachado was actually in the framework for the Arsenal managerial job and the hysteria that would cause among the snobbery of fans who would probably Google him. Now, look, I know my football, but I know of him, but I don't know him the way you do because of all the wonderful work you've been doing with Copa Libertadores and following all of that and doing commentary on the ground in South America. And then them acting like what would he do for us? Who is he? We don't even know him. For me, I would love somebody like him to come in and rebuild Arsenal, the new Arsenal, because the Arsenal that we once were is dead. That team's gone. It's been done for years, Oliver. And the three FA Cups at the time were like, wow, we won a trophy again. Then we won another one. Then we won another one. But they masked so much pain. They put Band-Aids on all of our institutional systematic problems, you know, behind the scenes, on the pitch, the apathy, the enabling of Wenger, the lack of training intensity, all of it. It masked all of that. And so for me, I'd love somebody like that to come in and completely reinvent the wheel. And I don't know why this snobbery exists. And I like, as you know, I cover LA Galaxy here. Mm. And Guillermo, who was the Boca Juniors coach as well. Mm. You know, someone like him, he's come in, he had problems. You know, LA Galaxy were really dead in the water for the couple seasons previous. His first few months were really tricky. You know, Zlatan comes in and changes the fortunes a little bit, even though the team was still poor. But you could see what he was trying to build. You could see what he was trying to do. You know, he and his brother, you know, tactically. These are smart football people. And I think sometimes we get caught in this European bubble of it's got to be Allegri or it's got to be Ancelotti or it's got to be X or Y. But if you're really looking to rebuild a football team, don't you want to look a little bit outside the box and actually think about who do we want to be? What kind of style of football do we want to play? What do we want our new identity and culture to become? Because for me, Arsenal have lost any idea of the culture or identity that they thought they had. When people say they've got to come in and do it the Arsenal way, what is that? What is the Arsenal way? Someone please explain to me because
I
don't
like
know.
West Ham fans. I mean, that's what West Ham have been saying ever since the stadium move and before that as well. You know, we've heard that a number of times where people saying on you know, radio phone-ins on TalkSport and stuff, oh, well, it's the West. We've got to have somebody that's the West Ham way, isn't it? It's the West Ham way. And after a while, people start saying that without knowing what it means in any way, shape or form. And I think you're completely right. I think you get to Arsenal now and you look at it and you think, what is the Arsenal way? There was the way under Wenger in the prime, but no one, not even Wenger, was able to replicate that because of, for various reasons, the lack of maybe dynamic spending in the transfer market, the lack of money that's been put down for somebody like Arsene Wenger to use in the past, the move to the Emirates, which, I mean, we were talking about, and you know, obviously being based in the US, all about the Oakland Raiders and the change that's going to be for the Raiders playing their last game at the Coliseum this weekend. And then they'll be going to this bright, shiny new arena, which isn't going to feel like the Coliseum. It's not going to feel like a dirty pirate ship where you go in and you're intimidated. It's going to feel like, oh, you've got a weekend in Vegas, you go and catch a Raiders game. You get some nice beers delivered to your seat. And Arsenal, I think, suffered from that in the same way going to the Emirates because it wasn't close like Highbury. And to credit United, Old Trafford has always been you sat right on top of the pitch. Even if it's more tourist fans going into United, even if it's more people that are just there to see the stars rather than to be United fans. But you're always right on top of the pitch and the atmosphere they can get there is still as good as anywhere else because it still feels intimidating. And the Emirates isn't an intimidating place anymore.
And so, hasn't been in years. Yeah. And the same thing has happened to West Ham. They were sold a myth, a story, and they lost the soul of the club. Upton Park, as you know, was... You know, it's not the greatest stadium in the world, but like Upton Park, Goodison Park, you know, old school stadiums like that, even Carrow Road, you know, stadiums like that, the atmosphere, the intimacy, the closeness, Highbury was just magic. Mm. You know, you had that intimacy, you had that closeness. And one thing, you know, it tastes like vinegar coming out, but I'll credit Tottenham. in terms of seeing all the lessons perhaps from clubs that have gone on to build, you know, big ass stadiums and tried to revolutionize their clubs. They've not only sustained their atmosphere, but they've actually, I think, enhanced it in many ways. Mm. And, you know, Atletico Madrid, the same. That new stadium is unbelievable. The atmosphere is unbelievable. And I think, you know, I feel for West Ham fans. I really do. Because when I watch games, and I've only been to one at the Olympic Stadium, but it's awful, you know. Yeah. And I've heard so many fans that have given up their season tickets. Because the other thing too is, same with Arsenal, and I've got a couple of cousins of mine that have given up their season ticket because they don't know what they belong to anymore. Football is part of, yes, it's tribal, but it's part of your own DNA, your culture. You get up on a Saturday or a Sunday or whichever day now, depending on the TV schedule.
Every day of the week, pretty much.
Every
now,
day
yeah.
of the week for 12 months a year. And you go to, you know, the dirty little calf and get your fry up. You have a couple pints. You talk to people. You see people that you never see outside of the football. But those people become a tribe. They become friends. And a lot of Arsenal fans don't know what they're belonging to anymore. Do they belong to... Can they have an affinity with Ozil? Can they have an affinity with Kolasinac, Mustafi? Who are these people? Who are these players? What is their soul? What's inside them when it comes to Arsenal Football Club? The fact that Bellerin is our longest serving player, and I think Ozil comes a little after that. There's one I'm probably missing, but to me, I'm going to be really honest right now, Oliver. I don't like some of our players. I don't like their attitude. I don't like the way they present themselves. I don't like their entitlement. I don't like how enabled they've been. They're not likable.
But isn't this what happens when... So I went out for a few beers this week with a couple of guys from the NFL circle in the UK and was... lucky enough to end up having a couple of beers with Jeff Reinbold, who Hamilton Tiger Cats in the CFL, he's their special teams coordinator, but he does a lot of the analysis on Sky Sports now for the NFL. And he's a lovely bloke, really nice guy. And we ended up talking about the nitty-gritty of how difficult it is as a coach in their sport to deal with these kids that they're leaving high school and they're putting down on the table four caps and having ESPN come into their house and film them saying which university they're going to. They're not going to get paid at university to play that sport, but yep. ESPN is still interested in seeing that. Then they go to college and end up being the superstars and are on TV every single week. If you're playing in the SEC in college football, you've got your own dedicated television network now. It's insane. It's off the chart. You become a US superstar playing in college for no money. And then these guys that maybe have all of that and for some reason don't make the NFL, because 3% of players in college football do, and then they go to the CFL and they turn up in Canadian football and they kind of go, well, I'm only going to be here a year, so why should I bother trying, or, you know, whatever. The NFL is going to grab me in next year or something, so it'll all be okay. And they've always had, they've been able to get away with murder at high school, at college, because they're so valuable to those teams, to those coaches and the coaches' progress. And it's the same thing in English football. You know, if you're a young kid and you're seen as a valuable asset by one of these big clubs, you get away with more. There will be an air of entitlement because you're getting so much money at such a young age and you're never experiencing that actually being a normal member of the general public half the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to slander some of these players and these people, because generally as people, there are obviously going to be some of these guys that are very good, hardworking people that put in a hard graft. But at the same time, it's very easy to get swept away in that athlete within a top level, high money bubble. And you just wonder how many of those are at Arsenal right now.
And I'm not, listen, Ozil does wonderful things for charity, you know.
Yeah.
But he also has phenomenal PR, right? And he used his PR during the Emery reign to also make himself kind of look like a martyr. Oh, I'm not being picked. Oh, I'm not being played. Look how hard I'm training. Subliminal messages, pictures, you know, all this kind of stuff. The reason why Arsenal gave him a contract for 350 grand a week was not because they believed that he was going to really continue to enhance the team or become a better player. It was because of his marketability factor. Mm. Mesut Ozil is a global star who is seen on all corners of the earth. He's very popular. He has a huge following also in the Muslim community, and he's very marketable, and football is about marketability right now. Also, one of the reasons why Raheem Sterling might be looking to leave Manchester City is because he wants to grow his brand. He wants to grow his marketability. That's what football has become.
That is the saddest sentence on the planet at the moment. Growing my personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
It's so and sad.
It is because, you know, West Ham are lucky that someone like Kevin Noble's still there. You know, he's a footballer. Yeah. I'm not saying he's the best footballer in the world, but he's a dedicated footballer who really tries his best every single week to do his thing. Does he make some money off the pitch through sponsorships? Yes. But, you know, is he a global name like the ones I've given? No, absolutely not. But, you know, you fear for players like, look at Jesse Lingard. Would he get into the Newcastle team if he wasn't at Manchester United? I don't know. Is he that talented? I don't think so. You know, Marcus Rashford, all these young players that are more concerned about their image on social media than, you know, luckily for Marcus Rashford, he's got someone like Ole who's trying to show him the way and say, look, dude, you can be me. Mm. You could do what I did.
But you for know, 90 minutes rather than off down. The bench, you know, you're like, you could actually play a full game, Marcus, and do what I did. Like,
I think that's the problem. Like, social media was supposed to bring fans and players closer together. But the game in itself and the money within it is bringing them, further apart. And I just think Arsenal now is full of players that don't really care. I actually think Xhaka is one that does and did care. I think the way he was treated was completely out of order. I think that our fans sometimes behave badly. Yes, of course, you pay the highest prices in all of England to go watch a football match. Then don't go. Mm. Don't go and complain. And, you know, Xhaka was at the end of his rope. He'd been abused on social media. His wife had been abused. He's trying to do his best. He was completely set up to fail by giving the captaincy. And Emery set him up to fail by creating this stupid vote and having five captains. I mean, it's a mess. So how do we expect the players that really do want to play and put the hard graft in to shine when, you know, we're not setting them up that way? And the players that do have the platform and the players that do have the profile are in it for themselves. And I saw it firsthand, Oliver, on a couple of different Arsenal tours here in the US. I mean, when I saw Mustafi here and I saw how he came out the dressing room and out into the mixed zone, ignoring all the media, mm-hmm. wearing his, you know, his earbuds and his shades and, you know, his socks up to his knees, acting and dancing like a rapper. I said to myself, I understand now why he makes stupid mistakes on the pitch, because he's kind of stupid himself.
Yeah. You're shot down Mustafi. You're not Jay-Z kind of thing. Like, let's grow up with this.
Yeah. And this clickiness, there's a click as well. There's groups in Arsenal. And if people don't think that the whole AFTV story, they're like, oh, come on, do you think players really give a shit? Well, then why did Bellerin come out and vehemently express his disdain for AFTV last year? Why is Aubameyang coming out and saying, if I want to be friends with troops and I could talk to anyone I like? What a joke. I mean, could you imagine this happening under like Sir Alex Ferguson's reign? Mm. Could you imagine this happening under a strong manager, Oliver? No, they've all been enabled. There've been no rules. There's been no accountability. And there's been no, no punishment for poor and bad behavior. And here we are right now. We're a club that's broken. We've got no system. We've got no discipline. And maybe Freddie's adding a little spark in some ways. But, you know, the players are still the same. I mean, men can't change that easy, can they?
You look at it's so funny that you mentioned Sir Alex Ferguson, because you look at what we've got now in the Premier League in terms of managers, and you look at Mourinho, tarnished reputation at the end of the day, without a doubt. He's not the same revered guy that he was after his first spell with Chelsea, for instance, and then with Inter Milan too. You look at the other managers around the Premier League right now. There is nobody that would be able to run a football club with an iron fist like Sir Alex Ferguson could. And Ferguson's deal was always, if you become bigger than the club and think you're more important, then you're on your way. You know, he didn't need to sell Beckham when he did, but the money was right, the opportunity was right, and Beckham's social life was becoming more of a problem for United, and making more front page news than back page news. So he said, I'm moving you on. You may be the biggest footballer on the planet, the most visible footballer on the planet, but I'm moving you on. We don't need you. We've got other people that can come in. And everybody in that United dressing room always just knuckled down and did the job. It wasn't, and it was a different era in terms of social media and stuff for sure. But it was still always about the job is playing football. In the same way of Bill Belichick, it's do your job. It's not about messing about on Instagram and social media. It's about doing your job. And if you
that's
don't
one of my I use that all the time. I always use Bill Belichick and do your job.
I hate it so much, but it is so correct as a manager. Uh-huh. But I don't think the only other manager I think that could have got away with that is the guy who's just left Tottenham, Pochettino, because he had the respect and had brought through a number of those players, and Pochettino would have the ability to say, enough's enough. You're either in or you're out, but you're buying into what I'm doing at the moment. And in the end, it wasn't enough with Pochettino.
Don't you think Klopp has that, though? Like, think about
the way he dealt
Liverpool.
with Mamadou Sakho, for instance.
Yes.
The mess about on Liverpool TV. And it was like, yes. Okay, very funny. Like, get out. Yeah, Klopp's interesting because it's a bit smiles and cries.
Yeah, and think about their players on social media. Mm. Think about their players in the summer when they go on vacation. Yes, footballers can do stupid things at different times, and in their summer holidays, they can do exactly what they want. It's their free time. They earn money. They can spend their money any way they want. I do not begrudge them of that. They work hard, you know, and that's the world we live in. Footballers get paid a lot of money. But I think Klopp has also got that about him. I mean, Wenger had it earlier when Cesc was coming through and he said bye-bye to Vieira, you know, that he had that early on. But he lost that in many ways going forward. And I just think Pep, I think, has had it at times. Maybe not as much at Bayern, and definitely in his second and third season at Manchester City, he had those players' attention for sure. But I asked him in his first season when he was here, like, where do you think you kind of went wrong after Barcelona and Bayern Munich? First season, you've never actually won anything. But he, in his mind, was still like, I did a great job. My players played well. We just didn't win. There were better teams than us. So for me, Arsenal need, I don't want women to take this the wrong way. I'm not trying to say anything, you know, like women can't do a man's job or whatever. But I'm sorry. Arsenal need a man to come in and rule that club. Mm. And whether it's because I actually think, Oliver, that we might get ourselves into a situation where whoever comes in next might not actually be our long-term manager. We could find ourselves in a similar situation with that Manchester United were in. Moyes, Van Gaal, Mourinho.
You don't take the chair after these long-term managers at the end of the day. And there are very few that can sit in that, even two managers down the line.
I actually thought Pochettino was going to be the only, when someone asked me this question, they said, who in the Premier League do you think could manage for the next 10 years the same team? And I said, that's easy. Pochettino. Easy. He's the only one that I could see at the time. And even though they hadn't won anything, you know, I guess progress counts for shit these days in football, because when you look at what he inherited, and again, as an Arsenal fan, it might be tough to say, but it's the truth. The truth is, he revolutionized Tottenham. You know, Harry did good things at Tottenham. He had good runs in the Champions League. We saw Gareth Bale shine a couple of amazing moments. But the true evolution of Tottenham, the reason why they could build the stadium and they could have all of these endorsements and start growing their international profile and, you know, have a deal with the NFL, is because Pochettino put them on the map. Top four consistently. Getting to a Champions League final, I don't care if anyone thinks, oh, well, they were lucky in a couple games. They still got there.
Yeah.
And barring a bad move by him, to be honest with you, playing Kane maybe when he should have played Moura, that game could have been a little bit different because Liverpool were not on their best that night. Mm. And so when they sacked him, I was like, wow, I actually thought this year they could go on and win a trophy. And it started off pear-shaped. You get to a Champions League final, you're going to have a hangover. Look at your Philadelphia Eagles, right, Oliver.
let's not bring up the Philadelphia Eagles right now. We're about to play our backup quarterback at wide receiver against the New York Giants. I mean, that sums up. That's a hell of a hangover we've got. We went out on a bit of a bender, I think, after the Super Bowl and haven't recovered for a while.
Haven't recovered for a whole year. But it happens, right? And there's the rumors of the infighting and, you know, the rumor of what happened, and we won't talk about that. But they didn't even give him a chance to try and fix it. They didn't even give him a chance to try and overcome the adversity. Mm. And there's no doubt those players revered him and loved him. And in the end, you know, I think he was let down a little bit by the chairman. You know, he was still given two big players and two big signings in the summer. But the point is that long-term manager is gone. And Arsenal fans thinking, who's going to be our guy for the next 5 years? That football doesn't work that way anymore. Do you agree? Like, how can you plan for that when you just, I mean, this has been happening in Spanish football for years, in Italian football for years, in English football less so. But I also think it's because Fergie and Wenger were in their positions for so long. They made us forget about the managerial revolving door.
Yeah.
And a lot of Arsenal fans have bitched about Chelsea for so long. Really? I'd like that plan. Yes.
Think about Fergie, Wenger, and even Moyes as well. Moyes kind of shadowed the mid-table with Everton. If he was there for a long time, had reasonable amount of success for a club like Everton. And so it kind of made you think, yeah, no, Premier League managers, even in the mid-table, you know, if you're not having a great year, you still end up sticking around and you stay around for a fair bit. And actually, if the club believes in you, you can make amends for the previous year. And it's just not that case anymore. I mean, Pochettino is the highlight of that. You go to a Champions League final, you get top four again, and you have a slip up when it comes to the second season. A second season after some of your players have played.
And an FA Cup final, right? Did they lose the FA Cup to Chelsea? Was it this year or last year they lost the FA Cup?
Last year.
Yeah, last year.
But still, I mean, Pochettino has gone, taken them closer to a trophy than the League Cup that they won last, 15 years ago, something like that. And has taken, I mean, to get to a Champions League final is beyond brilliant for a side like
it's Tottenham. Immense.
And it's not been a case of Pochettino jumping in like Di Matteo did with Chelsea and having success. Pochettino built that side, built them all the way through, brought through the young talent. Look, AVB, Harry Redknapp set some sort of groundwork to an extent. But it's Poch's revolution that's got Tottenham to the place that it is. And to then give him under half a season to try and make amends.
That was brutal. Cheap, you know. And let's be honest, Oliver, should they not have won the Premier League the year Leicester won it, barring an implosion at Chelsea where they lost their minds and lost their discipline? They had the Premier League, as did Arsenal really that year. I mean, we were catching up, but
it was the game
they could have won too.
The week before against West Bromwich Albion, they had West Brom at home and they drew 1-1 against West Brom. And that was, I think it was the week before the Chelsea game, and you were like, oh my goodness, Tottenham have really missed a bit. It was a Monday night football game as well. And you just thought Tottenham have missed a massive one there. Absolutely massive. It put more impetus on that Chelsea game, which when it got out of hand, it got out of hand and went south real quick. But that was the year for them to exceed it. Mm-hmm. But that's them exceeding expectations again. Take away the other sides falling by the wayside that year and having shockers. You know, they came third in a two-horse race, as you Arsenal fans and everybody else likes to remind Tottenham of that. But that was still a fantastic year for Tottenham that was only eclipsed by the fact that Leicester won the freaking Premier League title, which we'll never see again.
And my point is this to Arsenal fans, where it's even like the moaning of, I don't want Carlo Ancelotti. Really? You don't want even Carlo Ancelotti until the end of the year. Did you see how he set up Napoli against Liverpool in the Champions League? Mm. Did you? Okay, Bayern Munich players may say his training's archaic and he's past it, and it wasn't exactly roses at Bayern Munich. But given the opportunity, did you not see what this man can do? And let me ask you, in the last 5 years, count what Ancelotti has won and where he's been and where we've been. It's such ridiculousness. We haven't been competitive like Tottenham. We've been languishing in the Europa League, desperate to try and get back into the top four. you know, completely lost our identity. Meanwhile, teams around us growing. Crystal Palace above us, Wolves above us. I'm not saying Palace are going to finish in the top five by the end of the season. You know, laughing at the suggestion that Nuno could become our new manager. Look what he's done for Wolves. Stop looking at this as a name and start looking at this as what club do we want to become and who do we want to be? So
I think that's the pickle. Who do you want then? Because so I looked at some of the main names on the betting websites and stuff, and Pochettino is around about 14-1, funnily enough. Lundberg is 6-1 according to BetVictor to take the job as it stands at the moment. Massimo Allegri 10-1, which again wouldn't be the worst thing. Ancelotti's evens right now, which shows you something. But what name do you want to come in? Because you could have Arteta, who's basically been primed to take a manager's job at some point and is a former club man, of course. You've got a Vieira, who, again, seems like somebody who's ready to take a step into management. You've got English managers like Eddie Howe, who has pretty much done all he can do with Bournemouth, and getting them to where they are is a phenomenal achievement on his part. Even a Sean Dyche, his name's not on the list I've got in front of me, but, you know, a Dyche, it wouldn't be necessarily pretty, but what he does with Burnley every single year on the budget that he's got is something absolutely phenomenal. Like, what kind of guy, which name do you want to come in then, if there is a name you can think of?
So I think we have an elevated perception of ourselves with where we're at right now as a club. But our club still has brand equity. We're still the Arsenal. It's just so, it just so happens that some of our employees right now aren't up to scratch. And so I feel like we need to crank it down a notch. I'll tier this for you. If you're asking me my dream manager that I know we'll never get because he'll never leave and we'll never pay his compensation fee, that would be Diego Simeone. Seeing what he did with Atletico, the rebirth of Atletico, the way that he made La Liga interesting again by making Atletico competitive with Real Madrid and Barcelona. I mean, I think it is very underestimated in terms of what he's done. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the best managers in Europe for the last 5 years, for me, he's, other than Pep, he's probably one or two. Wow. He's absolutely brilliant, and he's ruthless, and he's no nonsense. And I would love for him to come in, and I'm going to use the terminology now, you can delete or keep, bitch slap a few of those players because they are such babies and they're such whiners and they act like Sunday school boys as opposed to footballers and men. And so someone like him coming in would be amazing, but will never pay his compensation package. And why would he ever leave when he has the team that he has? And my mind's gone blank, but it's João, right? João Felix.
João Felix, yeah.
I mean, come on. Why would you leave that? What are you going to leave that for? Right. Allegri, for me, why did we not hire him when we had the chance a couple of seasons ago? I understand that he was a bit cocky and Arsenal did not like that. And I'm thinking that's exactly my point and the problem with the club. You need someone like him to come in. Now, I've questioned him, and I did so on a podcast the other night because I said when he won those Scudettos, how strong was Serie A? And you, Mr. Calcio, AC Milan, Calcio King, knows a little bit more about that than I do. And for me, it wasn't as competitive as, say, Serie A was last season. So I think, yes, it's still hard to win four championships, five in a row, however many he won. But when it came to the Champions League, Oliver, he failed miserably at the last hurdle. He couldn't get them over the hump. Same way when Emery, that would have been a red flag for me after winning like 500-0 in Paris and you go to Barcelona and they put 501 goals on you to knock you out. That's a red flag, right?
Yeah.
How and why did that happen despite the players that you have? So I actually, Super Kevin Campbell and I the other day were trying to figure this out, and he's always said Allegri. And Eddie Howe, no. Look at Bournemouth right now. They are in turmoil. They've lost how many games on the trot? They're finding themselves in the bottom four or five now.
Crippling injury crisis as well.
Yeah, though. I don't trust Eddie Howe. I just don't. I can't Fair do enough. That. As much as I'd love a name, I'd rather a South American manager. Why aren't we looking at Bielsa? Answer me that.
I have no idea. Maybe because he's insanely volatile at times, as he's seemed to walk out of 90% of the clubs he's had. But Leeds United have actually got... Give him a bucket on the sideline. He's a happy man, it seems. A bucket and a full tactical breakdown. And he's okay, Marcelo Bielsa?
Listen, he to me has a little of that Belichick in him. You know, he's going to do whatever it takes to win. And players may not like it. He's not a long-term coach. And I think that's what Arsenal need. You know, in a short term, we need someone to come in and fix some problems that hopefully end up being long-term solutions. But, you know, we're not looking at him because he manages in the Championship. They're forgetting that what the dude has done previous to going to Leeds. Hello, he's managed some of the best players in the world. So again, snobbery from Arsenal. So Arteta, I think, you know, he's under Pep Guardiola, the professor. What has he learned? He's taken a lot more training this season, which kind of worries me because they've regressed this season. So what does that tell you? You know, and I don't know. Is he the guy you're going to hand the keys over to and hope that he's going to build something in 5 years? You know, would I rather the coach that you mentioned
Gachado from River Plate.
Yeah, Gachado from River Plate. Is he a better option than that? I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, and so for me, I just feel that right now, I don't know what the plan is. What are we looking for? Are we looking for someone to come in until the end of the season, or are we looking to give it to someone who we're going to be patient with and give them time to rebuild the club? So, you know, Simeone's my guy, but it's never going to happen, which leads me with emptiness and nothing to offer in terms of who my second choice is. You know, I think we've been a club that has missed the boat on Klopp and Pep and Conte.
Big thanks to Sophie for coming on the show and talking all things Arsenal. We'll have the second part of that conversation coming up in the next few days. It may be a little dated if Arsenal hire their new manager by that time, but we were mainly then talking about the players and the attitude around it a little bit more and some of the transfers that perhaps are needed at Arsenal, or what Sophie at least wants to see coming into her beloved club. Remember, you can follow her at Soccer Diva on Twitter. You can find her, as I say, as a co-host of the Highbury Squad podcast, and she's around TalkSport Airwaves as well. And of course, around the press box of the LA Galaxy and the US soccer scene in general. Some quick odds then from BetVictor on the next Arsenal manager. If you want to place your bets, you must be 18 or over. Please gamble responsibly, of course. For more information on that, visit begambleaware.org. The front runner, Mikel Arteta, 5-2 right now as we're talking on Friday evening. Carlo Ancelotti, 2-1. Freddie Ljungberg, 4-1. Patrick Vieira, 6-1. Those odds shortening a little bit on Patrick Vieira. Mauricio Pochettino still in the mix at 12-1 as well. Massimo Allegri has dropped down to 20-1. He's about level with Eddie Howe, who's 20-1 as well. Roberto Martinez, as Sophie mentioned, is an outsider at 25-1 as well. Rafa Benitez, 16-1. Those odds getting a little shorter. And I know Sophie said that she didn't think that Simeone would come. 25-1 that Diego Simeone could be tempted by the Arsenal job, but it looks like it's going to go somewhere else. That will probably be decided in the next few days, perhaps even a little bit longer than that. We will have another podcast for you in those next few days with Sophie, and we'll obviously have Jason as well getting on board with whoever he's been chatting to this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with more in a few days' time.